Amen. 1 John chapter 3. All right, if you got your place, say amen. All right, let's start reading verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Bible said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. I'm looking forward to being like him, ain't you? I mean, we call ourselves Christians and we try to be Christ-like, but we ain't really very Christ-like, I don't think, very much. But one of these days we really will be. We shall see him as he is. That's what I want to preach about a few minutes this morning. We shall see him as he is. Brother, I tell you, what he is now is not what he was like when he was here. What we saw, his recorded history, there's nothing like him. What we're going to see the next time is not going to be anything like what we saw the first time. He was more than a man, and he was more than a man when he was here the first time. The Bible said, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He was God in the flesh. Thank God for that. Brother, when he comes back the next time, he's not going to be God in the flesh. He's going to be God. Amen? That's right. Brother, I tell you, it's going to be an exciting time when we see him. The next time, we're going to see him as he is.
Amen.
We're not going to see him as the Bible recorded him the first time, and we're not going to see him as the lowly Nazarene walking the shores of Galilee. We're going to see him in all his power, all his glory. Amen? Brother, I was thinking about this. I always get excited when I start thinking about him and I start reading about him. And after all these years of preaching about him and being saved and reading about him and reading stories about him and reading about his life and preaching about him, hearing songs about him, it still excites me. It still does something for me. I can read stories about people. I can hear songs about other people. It don't really do anything for me. But I can still hear somebody get up and start preaching about Jesus, and I'll sit there and I'll start getting excited, brother. It'll do something for me. I ain't kidding. I can sit there in a Jubilee service and a preacher start talking about him. Oh, Brother Harry Nick started talking about him other week. Boy, I'll start squirming. I'll start saying, yeah, brother, that's him. I'm telling you, that's him. I mean, brother, it just does something for me. There ain't nobody else does that for me, amen, except him. I was reading about him just the other day and just this week, and I got to thinking about even when he was a baby, I mean, brother, it stirred everything up. I mean, before he was born, there was an angel appeared to a young lady, was a virgin, never a man had even touched her. I don't think anybody even held her hand. I mean, brother, she was a spouse to Joseph, and she'd never been touched by a man. And brother, heaven sent an angel down to talk to her and said, you're going to have a child. And she said, how could this be? I've never known a man. And the angel explained it all to her. And brother, heaven and earth came together even before he's even born. Oh, brother, it gives me chills up the back of my neck. And brother, when he was conceived, and brother, Mary and Elizabeth came together and rejoiced. And brother, when he was born, amen, the shepherds rejoiced out there on the hillside. And these wise men saw a star up in heaven, and they began to travel. And they said, there's something about that star. The king is born. Hey, brother, there's something different about him. He ain't like just anybody else. I'll tell you, we're going to see him as he is one of these days. Oh, brother, I'll tell you, let's be thinking about him. Amen. The Bible said he puzzled the doctors as a young man, just a little boy. You imagine a 12-year-old boy sitting amongst a bunch of doctors, all them dignified guys, had those DDs and PhDs at the end of their name. And that little boy sitting amongst them, they're all sitting around talking. I wonder what they said about that. You ever wonder what they talked about? I mean, they might have talked about the law and the prophets, and they might have talked about, but in my sanctified mind, my little hillbilly mind, I just think about what they talk about. I mean, they probably talked a while, and they probably started noticing he was different. He wasn't like any other little boy they'd ever talked to. He wasn't like any other 12-year-old kid. And they got to looking at him and listening to him, and they started looking at each other, and they said, that kid's different. There's something different about that boy. And they started looking at him, and they started scratching their head and unrolling the scroll. And they said, that boy knows the Word of God. That kid knows the Bible. And they started looking at him and looking at each other, and they started scratching their head, and they started asking him questions, and he had answers like they'd never heard. I could hear one of them say, son, do you mind if we ask you a question or two? And he said, yes, sir, go ahead. And one of them finally said, son, who are you? And he probably said, well, on my mother's side, I'm Jesus. But on my mother's side, I'm Emmanuel, which means God with us. And they probably looked back and forth at each other and stroked their beard a little bit. And another spoke up and said, well, son, where in the world do you come from? And he said, well, on my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, I'm from far beyond the stars and the planets. As a matter of fact, some wise men saw a star, and they come to find me. And that's far, far beyond where my back porch is. Glory to God. And they might have said, son, let me ask you this. You're awful intelligent. How old are you? And he probably said, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. I want to tell you something, brother. There wasn't nobody like him. There still ain't nobody like him. He said, I'll feel all by himself. Brother, I want to tell you, you cannot compare Jesus Christ with anybody in this world. Amen. He said, my mother was my mother's Mary, a virgin from Nazareth. But my father, you may have heard of him. Psalm 83:18 said, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And they walked around, scratched their head, and about that time Mary showed up and said, young man, you come with me. And brother, just like any child should do, he got up and said, yes, ma'am, and said, I'll see you fellas later, and walked off and was obedient to his mother. And she said, young man, she said, what are you doing scaring me and your daddy like that? He said, wait a minute. He said, I was about my father's business. Amen. She said, in other words, he was saying, Joseph ain't my daddy. My father's up in heaven, and I'm about his business. But listen, brother, how would you like to be 12 years old, and you know that you're God, and you still submitted yourself to your earthly mother and father, and you go back to the house, and you're putting chair legs together, and you're building chairs, and you're feeding the sheep, and feeding the livestock, knowing that you came from heaven, and knowing that you're going to a cross. Amen. He was God, and he was man. I ain't even got to my message yet. He was God and he was man. He was so much man that he was aboard the boat in Mark chapter 4. He was so much man that he got tired and he went down that boat and went to sleep. But he was so much God when that storm started rocking that boat that he walked out on the front of it and said, peace be still! And the storm stopped dead in its tracks. He was so much man that when he went to Lazarus' tomb in John 11, and there's all weeping and crying, and Lazarus been dead 4 days, and his body was decaying, that he wept and cried, tears running down his face, because his heart was broke for his friends, but he was so much God, he said, hey, Lazarus, come forth out of the grave. Lazarus got up from the dead. He was so much man that when they crucified him, he felt the pain and blood come out of his body just like any other man. He suffered and he bled and he felt the bruises and the knots came up on his body. And when they crushed the crown of thorns on his brow, he suffered just like any other man. And he bled and he suffered and he hung there on that cruel cross all those hours in darkness and suffered just like anybody else. God didn't take none of the pain away. He was so much man that when he hung there, the life oozed out of his body just like anybody else. But he was so much God. 3 days later, he got up from the dead. He was tempted like a man, but he responded like God. He felt weariness like a man, but he exhibited strength like God. He walked like a man, but talked like God. I want to tell you something, brother. So shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible said. But we'll see Him like He is. We'll be with the Lord. We'll be like the Lord. We'll see Him as He is. Someday we'll see Him in the power of His creation. We've seen Him in His creation. Think about it. We look around and we see what God's created. All the plants and herbs and animals, the fish, the birds, the sun, and the moon and the stars. Are y'all awake this morning? I'm feeling like preaching. Y'all just sitting there. Amen. We've seen Him in His creation. The sun is a small star. It'll fit many thousands of times in some of the big stars. Listen, we can't even grasp how big the universe is. We can't even grasp it. Some of us think we're the center of it. We're nothing. We're a speck of dust. The Bible says, Psalm 147:4, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. Job said, He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. You think about that. A light year is the distance light travels in a single year. I can't even say this number. I don't know how big it is. I don't even know. The light we see coming from the nearest star. When you see the nearest star at night, that light started 4.2 years ago. The nearest star that you see in the sky, that light started toward your eye 4 years ago. That's how far away it is. That's a mind blower, brother. You say, oh, I see twinkle, twinkle, little star. No, twinkle, twinkle ain't little. You're seeing that star. The light started towards your eye 4 years. Back in 2009, it started towards you. That's how long it took to get here. That's a long way away, baby. The sun's 93 million miles away, and it'll burn you if you get out of it. And that's a little tiny star. Listen, I'm going to slow down and give you a few statistics. Listen to this. A light year, some of the light, even being the nearest star, they say this star, Proxima Centauri, is incredibly far away. It would take our fastest spacecraft more than 50,000 years to get to the nearest star. 50,000 years. It is a red dwarf star, and they say that it's 14.5% the diameter of the sun. It only has about 12.3% of the mass of the sun, and it's the temperature of 3,000-something degrees, and it's only 17% brightness of the sun. The sun, listen to this, sun belongs to a galaxy called the Milky Way. We're not talking about a candy bar. Astronomers estimate that there are about 100,000 million stars in the Milky Way alone. 100,000 million stars in our galaxy alone. Outside that, there are millions upon millions of other galaxies also. That's how big it is. In other words, galaxies on average have between 100 billion and 1 trillion numbers of stars. Now, how many galaxies are there? Astronomers estimate that there are approximately 100 billion to 1 trillion galaxies in the universe. So if you multiply those two numbers together, you get between 10 with a little 22 beside of it, whatever that means, and 10 with a 22 beside, 24 beside of it, stars in the universe, whatever that is. Can anybody count that high? No, we can't. How many stars? There are between 10 sextillion and 1 septillion stars in the universe. Nobody even knows how many that is. Scientists say it would be easier to count how many grains of sand that there are on every beach on planet Earth than it would be to count how many stars in the universe. Now here's what I want to show you that's going to impress you. This is what I'll show you that'll blow your mind under your Bible, Genesis chapter number 1. We read this one night in Bible study and Matt shouted it out. Y'all remember this, Genesis chapter number 1. I'm getting to my message here in a minute. Genesis chapter 1. Y'all remember this? Where God created everything? Genesis chapter 1. And He created in verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Y'all remember how many stars I was talking about a minute ago? all them septillions and all them sextillions and all that stars. Scientists used to say that they could see the end of the universe, those lights at the end of the universe. Now they're realizing that ain't the end of the universe, that's the beginning of it. That ain't the back porch, brother. They're saying that's the front porch. Amen? And he said in verse 15, and let there be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, and the greater light was to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon. There's a semicolon. Oh, yeah. He made the stars also. Glory to God. Every time I read that, a chill goes back of my neck. He said, that's all he said. He just said, all that. Oh, yeah. By the way, he made the stars too, bless God. He named them. All those septillion and sextillion, how many ever that is, he slung them out into nothing and named them all. Every one of them's got a name. And our son's one of the little bitty ones. And there's cajillions and cajillions, whatever that is. They're all over the place. And they're strung out all over the universe. And God made them. That's our Savior for you, brother. Now look at Colossians 1:16. Now this is where you're going to shout. I'm getting to my message in a minute. Somebody said they wish I'd preach an hour. I might do it today. Now listen to this. We see him in creation. All that I said about all the stars and the planets and all that stuff. And he said he created the sun and the moon, semicolon, and he also made the stars. That's all he said. That's all he said about stars. He didn't go into the big elaborate thing about how big it was. But we do know how big it is. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Every star and every planet, every galaxy, every micron and neutron and molecule and atom in this universe was made by the darling Lamb of God. It was made by him. It was made for him. All things for him. Listen, brother, all the bad things was made because of sin has turned back. But everything in this world, everything you see, everything in this universe, all things are made beautiful. Everything was made wonderful. It's sin that brought bad, wicked, and ungodly things in this world. We see him in the power of his creation. You think about the birds and the animals and all the sea life and the plant life. Everything you see in creation, God made it. You think about Adam naming all the animals. You think about Adam is in the Garden of Eden and God marching them all by him. And Adam's standing there going, that's a zebra, that's a giraffe, that's a rhinoceros, that's a platypus. Oh, that's a dog, that's a cat, that's a rabbit, that's a gopher. That's a kangaroo, that's a wallaby, that's a possum, that's a raccoon. Naming them up, just making it up, writing it down. God said, that's a good name, that's a good name. There goes another, what's that weird looking thing? Yeah, that's a groundhog. What do you call that thing? That's a buzzard. On and on and on and on it goes. Thank God, brother, we see it in the power of its creation. Someday, number two, we'll see him in the power of his coming. Thank God we're going to see him in the power of his coming. Mark 13:24 said, in those days, after the tribulation, brother, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The very sun and moon that he made. Son, he's going to cut the switch off. He's going to say, all right, sun, all right, moon, I'm through with you. I'm shedding light. I'm going to turn the switch off. And buddy's going to cut the light off. And he's coming back. And he said that every eye's going to see him. And buddy's coming with great power and great glory. Every eye's going to see him. Even them that pierced him shall see him. We will see him in the power of his coming. I'm talking about the power of his coming. I'm not talking about the rapture. We're talking about 7 years after the rapture. In the rapture, we're just going to skin out of here real quick. And then there's going to be 7 years of hell on earth. And then he's coming back. And we're coming back with him. We're going to leave with our boss. We're going to suffer our loss. And we're going to come back on a horse. That's right. That's the way it works. Amen, brother. We're coming with him, brother. seen that his power of his coming. He's not coming to get the religious or the good people or to get certain organizations or to get the wealthy or get the famous. He's not coming back to be politically correct or get voted in. He's coming back to take over. Thank God for that. We'll see him in the power of his coming. Amen. We'll see him in the power of his coming. The Savior will descend. Satan will be destroyed. Ain't you looking forward to that day when they snatch him up, wrap him up, and throw him in? Thank God, what a day. I'm looking forward to that. I about had it with him, ain't you? I about had it with the devil. You think you're tired of other stuff. I hear people say, well, I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of the devil. I mean, I'm tired of this old flesh. The devil's what's made this flesh what it is. Sin and the flesh, the devil. I mean, brother, one of these days, the Bible said they're going to bind him. His angels are going to bind him hand and foot and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then when he comes back up, the Bible said the Lamb of God's going to throw him in the outer darkness into the lake of fire. Lest the Savior will descend and Satan will be destroyed and sin will be defeated. I'm tired of sinning, ain't you? I'm tired of sinning. I don't want to sin no more. See, preacher, I don't think preacher's sin. Are you crazy? I'm a human like you are. I sin too. I fight with it every day. I mean, I ain't holy like the Pope. He's the only holy Father. I'm just Brother Ronnie's all I am. I'm unholy like you. I'm tired of sinning, ain't you? Ain't you tired of just fighting with it? Don't you just get sick? I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of fighting with me. I'm sick of this struggle that goes on every day of my life. Every day I got to fight. Brother Heath, I feel like I got to get myself in a headlock every day and just fight with me and fight with me. That ain't right. You can't do that. That ain't right to be thinking that way. That ain't right. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You can't be having thoughts like that. You got to resist the devil. You got to flee temptation. I'm getting tired of this wicked fight. Sin will be defeated. The shadows will be dispelled. Amen. The shadows. You know, that's what fear is shadows. You know that? David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, though I walk through the valley of death. He said, the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow. It's not death that you should be afraid of. It's the shadow of it. Shadows can't hurt you. They can just scare you. You ever seen a kid be scared of the shadow? You ever had a dog scared of the shadow, a little puppy? You ever seen a horse that was scared of the shadow? When we'd break horses when they were young, you ever had them do that? We used to have horses that would be moon blind. It's this weird eye problem that horses had. And that when it get dark or about dusky dark, if they see a mud puddle, they'd freak out because they'd think it's a hole. They call it moon blindness. And it's just a shadow. They see a shadow and they get scared of it. That's what that is. That's the way Christian people are sometimes. We get scared of things that ain't even there. Ain't that right? The devil says, oh, look out! You're going to fall. He really ain't going to protect you. He ain't going to supply your needs. All this ain't real. All this Bible business. You're going to go under. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You ain't going to make it. One of these days, listen, the shadows of this life will be dispelled. All the fears will be gone, brother. All those fears will be gone. The shadows will be dispelled. I'm glad. Thank God I don't have to worry about it anymore. Saints will be delivered. Saints will be delivered. Looking forward to that. Well, we'll see him in the power of his coming. We'll see him in the power of his conquering. Revelation 19:11 said, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. It's fine linen because of the blood. And it's white and clean because of the blood. Now to his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he with he should smite the nation, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Heard on the news this morning that every day it's rumors of wars. You hear about North Korea and Iran and this nation and that nation. When he comes back, he's going to smite them all. He's going to rule the world. It really is going to happen. This is not just an allegorical fantasy. This is not a fairy tale, people. It's really going to happen. We're going to be right smack dab in the middle of it. Smack dab, that's a Greek terminology. That means in the centrifuge of all of the... Yeah, ain't that a fancy word for a hillbilly? I like smack dab better. Yeah. We're going to be right in the middle of it. We're going to see him in the power of his conquering. We're going to see him get what's really coming to him. Jesus Christ ain't going to be a joke anymore. Hey, you can turn the TV on now and he's a big joke, just a big old joke. People make fun of him, laugh at him. Ain't going to be a joke anymore. They're going to fall on their face. And they're going to proclaim him King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We'll see him in the power of his conquering. He's going to conquer. We'll see him in the power of his crowning. Well, I'm looking forward to that. In that same passage I just read you, Revelation 19:11 said, I saw heaven open, beheld a white horse. Imagine heaven opening up. Can you visualize that? I've seen artists draw pictures of heaven opening up, and the King of Kings coming out on that great big white stallion, heaven just parting. And here he comes. And all those armies of heaven coming out behind him. Hey, I don't care if China's got a million-man army. They ain't going to hold a light to that. They ain't no nuclear weapon going to touch it. I mean, how you gonna shoot a nuke at somebody that created that universe I just talked about a while ago? I mean, how you gonna do that? You can't. I mean, he'll blast it out of before it hits to the atmosphere of the earth. He'll explode it and blow it up. He'll never get anywhere. The Bible said his name was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Many crowns. Amen. He won't have a crown of thorns, but a crown of glory. Ronnie, come on the piano. Let me give you my sanctified mind, what some of them crowns stand for. Amen. He won't have a crown of humility, but a crown of righteousness. He won't have a crown of humanity, but a crown of godliness. Amen. He won't have a crown of meekness like he did the first time, but a crown of power. Amen. He won't have a crown of a servant, but a crown of a sovereign. He won't have a crown of a king, but a crown of a King of Kings. He won't have a crown of limited power, but a crown of splendor. I was sitting back there this morning, I was thinking about this message. I got to think about many crowns. What do they stand for? And there's no way you could even, many crowns could go on and on. Infinity. In my limited human mind, Brother Sam, I got to thinking, what could each crown stand for? I know I can't scratch the surface, but I have to think of one of them would be a crown of glory, a crown of honor, a crown of power, a crown of beauty, a crown of blessedness, an elevated crown, an excellent crown, a crown of majesty, an imperial crown, a crown of sovereignty, a crown of praise, a crown of reputation, a crown of splendor, crown of greatness, crown of dignity, crown of distinction. Everybody know who he is. They won't say, I wonder who that is. They'll know who he is. A lustrous crown, a lofty crown, a crown of exaltation, a radiant crown, a rich crown. Man. A crown of triumph, a crown of grandeur, a crown of royalty, crown of nobility, an adorned crown, an established crown, a wonderful crown, admirable crown, an amazing crown, an astonishing crown, a magnificent crown, a crown of awe, a marvelous crown, sensational crown, a superb crown, a glorious crown, a wondrous crown. And the most wonderful thing about all this is we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. And wherever he is, that's where we'll be. And the Bible said those 420 elders cast their crowns at his feet. And somewhere in all this, at the judgment seat of Christ, if we live right and do what we're supposed to, we're going to receive something. Somebody said one time, said, "Preacher, what would you want something for? Why would you want a reward?" I guarantee you, when you meet him, you're going to want something. I promise you. When you meet him and you see those wounded hands and feet, Revelation 5 said, "I saw a lamb as had been slain." They couldn't find nobody to take the book from him that sat upon the throne and loose the seals, and they all were weeping. And somebody said, "Weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." And he looked in the midst of the elders, and there stood one as had, a lamb as had been slain. He saw the wounds in his hands and his feet, and he prevailed and took the book from him, which said, he's the only one that could do it. Amen. And when you meet him, you know what you're going to want to do? Whatever you did earn, you're going to want to do this. You're going to bow at his feet and cast it at his feet and worship him. When he was here on earth in human form, there's a couple of people grasped that. Not many, one or two. Mary was one of them. She bowed at his feet, had an alabaster box of precious ointment, and she broke that box open and poured it on his feet. So I was like, ah, what a waste. She knew who he was. She said, "I'm going to get in on this ahead of time." She got a hold of that worship. When you get to heaven, when I get to heaven, you ain't going to just want to walk up and shake his hand. You're going to fall down at his feet because he's your King and your Savior. Amen. You think you want to worship him now. Wait till you meet him. All those crowns on his head, and you see his wounds in his hand. You actually look into his face. You're going to want to give him everything you've got. So you want to earn everything you can. You want to witness, win souls, go to church, give everything you give it all you got. So when you do get your opportunity to meet him, you want to give him something back. Amen. Present something to him. We're going to see him as he is. Amen. Let's stand.